Jesus had 12, one fell away. There are forces in this world that we live in, people and influences that will try to derail you.
This is Straight Talk.
Hello, friends. Welcome back to Straight Talk Radio. My name is Joshua Halleck. I'm your host, and I'm here with Pastor Mark Jobe, author and senior pastor of New Life Community Church here in Chicagoland. Pastor Mark, you've been taking us through a series titled Contrast, and this is the last message in that series through the book of 1 John. And what a pointed way for John to end his letter. And as we get into it, there's all kinds of beliefs, spiritual beliefs, and sometimes we think they all kind of wash together. But John has something else to say, doesn't he?
Yeah, John is very clear about this. Test the spirits. In fact, Scripture's clear that in the end times, there will be a lot of deceptive teaching that will lead people astray, that has enough Christianity sprinkled into it that it sounds like it's the truth, but it's actually leading people down a path that leads them away from Christ instead of to Christ. So John is saying, hey, you need to test the spirits to see where they come from, whether they're from God or whether they come from a different origin. And I believe this message is so relevant for us today. There is a lot of teaching that we as believers need to examine and make sure, especially around the person and the work of Christ. Any teaching, religious group, doctrine that takes away from the centrality of the person and the work of Christ, you can be assured of this, that it is not originating from Scripture. And a lot of the heresy that we find today undermines really the centrality of the work of Jesus Christ in our lives. And so test the spirits. There are people listening to me right now that you may be in a church or reading some books or influenced under a teacher that is actually not leading you to Christ, but slowly altering your course and leading you away from the truth of God's word.
Wow. Wow. And verse 2 says, this is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. This is how, and that's what the passage is going to describe. Thank you, Pastor Mark. Friends, we hope you're on the edge of your seat listening with your heart open to this passage. It is 1 John chapter 4, verse 1 through 7, titled Testing of the Spirits.
I had the opportunity of my wife and I, for the first time in our life, really to visit the land of Israel. I've been all over the world. I've been to Africa. I've been to China. I've been to South America, Europe, and traveled extensively, but never had I been to the country of Israel. And it's an amazing place, especially when you think of the fact that Israel is roughly the size of the state of New Jersey. It's surrounded by nations that are pretty antagonistic against it. And when you land in Israel, you discover that almost anywhere you go in that country, there is some biblical significance or historical significance to the place that you're walking in. I was in the sea, around the Sea of Galilee, where Jesus walked on the water, and we went to Capernaum, where Jesus performed a great many of his miracles. We were at the spring of Herod, where Gideon drank from the fountain and determined what 300 would go with him to the battle. I heard the Sermon on the Mount read out loud from the mountain in which Jesus preached his most famous message, which was the Sermon on the Mount. It was on the Mount of Olives, where Jesus looked at Jerusalem and he wept over Jerusalem. And you see the Mount of Olives faces right the city of Jerusalem, and he wept over Jerusalem. We were in Jerusalem and saw the Wailing Wall, which is one of the walls that is closest to the sacred temple, the temple that Solomon built, and where people still go and pray there. We were at Mount Golgotha, where Jesus more than likely was crucified, and saw in Bethlehem, where He was reported to have been born, the cave where he was reported to have been born. And so it's amazing to be in these places where there's so much historical significance and where Jesus actually walked, and so many of the Old Testament prophets lived and moved in there. And it brings to light some of what you read in Scripture, because all these places you read in Scripture, now I have a picture in my mind of what that really looks for. But the most telling moment, one of the most telling moments was there. I was entered into a shop and was talking to a Jewish woman, and I said, "Your land is beautiful." And she said, "Yes." She said, "We have everything in this country, everything that we need, except peace." And I believe the exhortation, "Pray for the peace of Jerusalem," comes to mind. And so I thought that that was a powerful statement. We have everything that we need except peace. I want to take you in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 7 of 1 John chapter 4. We've actually been studying verse by verse through the book of 1 John. How many of you have been learning something through the book of 1 John? Raise your hand. All right, there's a few of you that have been awake and learning something. We like to study verse by verse through books of the Bible because there's something about what's called exegetical teaching, verse by verse teaching, that forces us to go to some of the hard places of Scripture. And I believe it, our diet is more balanced when we go verse by verse through Scripture. It forces us to look at passages that normally we may not look at. And so we've been studying through 1 John, and I plan on finishing the book of 1 John. Thank God there's only 5 chapters, right? So we're making our way through this book. I'm skipping a little bit because Pastor George, I believe, did verses 7 through 21 last week. So I'm doing verses 1 through 7 this week of 1 John chapter 4. And this is really all about, these 7 verses are all about testing. Testing the spirits. You know, we have graduation Sunday here, so everybody knows that there are tests in life. How about it? Some of you have just finished your finals, where the night before you just crammed, read as much as you could, tried to put it all in there. If you're like me, you waited to the last minute to try to cram it all in your head. And then when you show up at your test, you say, "Don't touch me because it may leak out. I'm so full here." We know about tests. My kids, as they completed high school, they did the ACT test. And they have to score. Basically, the ACT test is to see how much you learned during high school, to see if colleges are going to give you grants or if they'll accept you. If they feel like you're a good student, then they test the knowledge to see if you're ready to go to the next level. Last week when I was in Israel, I had to call and make sure that my credit card knew that I was out of the country, because if you swipe something, they can close it down thinking that someone's trying to rob you. So I get on the phone and they test you. They say, "Okay, what's your card number? What's your mother's maiden name? What's your favorite pet?" They give you all these tests to make sure it's to authenticate that you're the right person. They're testing to make sure you are who you say you are, because there's a lot of false impersonations out there. I went recently to renew my driver's license, and I thought I was going to just show up there and have an eye test and then they would give me my new license. But when I showed up there, they said, "Oh, by the way, you have to take your driver's test." And I don't know about you, but it's been a long time since I took a driver's test. So I'm like, well, I wasn't really prepared. I know I've been driving for 25 years, but I'm not sure I'm remember all the rules. I may have made up a few rules in my own mind of speed limits and how they should go. So Come on, don't look at me like you don't understand. You made up half the rules yourself, too. If we were to give you a test right now, don't tell me that some of you'd be panicking a little bit. So I said, can you give me 10 minutes with the book? So I'm looking through the book, and she says, if you miss any of the signs, you're done. I'm looking through the signs and making sure I know all that stuff. Thank God I passed. But the test was to make sure that I had knowledge to be able to have this little identification card that we call a driver's license that empowers us to be able to drive. It's a test verifying that we should be able to do what we're doing. Coming back from the airport in Tel Aviv, Israel, there was a security checkpoint. I've never had such a long security checkpoint in all my life. It took us 2.5 hours to get through that airport. They check you, they ask you questions, they check your passport. They took my luggage out randomly, they said. I think they thought I looked suspicious. So they took me out, they checked my luggage. It's a test. They're making sure that you are who you say you are, because there are a lot of false impersonations out there. In the spiritual world, it's the same way. We have to constantly be on guard. And what John is telling us is that there's a lot of fake things out there, that we have to be in a mode where we are testing things in the spiritual world to make sure that we know what spirit they come from. There's a big spiritual world out there. Not everything spiritual is from the Spirit of God. How about it? Just because it's spiritual doesn't mean that it's of the right spirit. There's a multiplicity of spirits that are out there, and some supernatural phenomenal things that occur aren't necessarily God's work. They are a spiritual work, but not necessarily the Spirit of God work. And so I'm going to begin reading here. I'm really talking to you about living with spiritual discernment. And you shouldn't be surprised that we're called to test all things. There are many people that are spiritually gullible. When a child is easily deceived, we say, well, they're just a child. They're not grown up, so they're gullible. That's why parents teach children, hey, when a stranger offers you a candy or says, come in, I lost my puppy in my car, could you come in and look for it? You say, don't be gullible. You can't believe everyone that comes. Not everybody that comes up to you is a nice person. And not everybody that offers you something should you take it. And when we protect our children because we believe that they're still gullible. They haven't developed the discerning skills as mature people to discern between what is bad and what is good, because they're still young. And John is talking to believers, and he's telling them, you cannot live in spiritual immaturity in which you are spiritually gullible. You have to learn to discern what is of God and what is not of God. You have to learn to be able to tell the difference between the spirit of light and the spirit of darkness, or you also will be sucked in to destructive deceptions that could derail you spiritually.
We'll be right back with Pastor Mark Jobe in a moment. You are listening to our Straight Talk radio message called Testing the Spirits, which is from Pastor Mark's series called Contrast, Be the Difference. After the broadcast, I'll tell you more about how you can get a free copy of this message, as well as information regarding Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church in Chicago. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Mark. We are in the book of 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Pastor Mark's message is called Testing the Spirits.
So all of us here, no matter if you're young in the Lord or older in the Lord, part of the challenge that you have and part of your obligation, if you're going to stay healthy in God, is that you have to consistently be testing the spirits. We call that discernment. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 1 of John chapter 4. And I'm going to ask that you stand for the reading of God's word. 1 John 4, verse 1 through 7. I'm reading out of the New International Version. It says, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. This is how you recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming, and even now is already in the world." Verse 4. "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who's in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us. But whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood." Word of God, you may be seated. So as I challenge you to live in discernment, I'm going to point out to you four things that are characteristic of people that live in a discerning way. Not everybody here is going to make it to the next decade spiritually. The Bible predicts that some will fall away. Jesus had 12, one fell away. There are forces in this world that we live in, people and influences that will try to derail you. Even as I speak today, some of you, and I don't know who or where or how, but some of you are being influenced by forces outside. It may be a relationship, it may be a teaching, it may be something in your life that is really working to derail you from your spiritual life, to take you off track. And it doesn't come in blatantly, it usually comes in very subtly. Because if deception comes in clearly, we recognize it. But when it comes in the back door, we are more susceptible. If the thief comes in the daytime knocking on the front door, we look through the window and he's got a dark mask and a name tag that says thief, then of course we don't let him in. But that's not how they usually come. They come subtly. They come when we don't expect them. They come where we're not looking, and that's how they enter into the household. And deception functions the same way. So John is talking to these believers, and you can imagine this older, wrinkled, experienced Apostle John, who the Bible says he called himself the one that the Lord loved. He's Jesus' first cousin. His mother Salome, sisters with Mary. He's lived a lot. All the other apostles have died by this time. He's still alive. He walked with Jesus. He's this older grandfather figure, full of wisdom, full of the Spirit. He's seen what other people haven't seen. He's walked with Jesus in a close way like many haven't seen. And he's writing to these believers and he says to them, "Dear friends," with that gravelly voice of an elderly person, "Dear friends, do not believe every spirit." I love that, "dear friends." It's a term of endearment. There's a tenderness there. He's not rebuking them, exhorting them. He's not chastising them. He's speaking to them like a grandfather would speak to his young children. He says, "Beloved," or "dear friends, do not believe every spirit." Literally, it means stop believing every spirit. Don't be gullible. Not every spiritual experience or every demonstration of spiritual power is from God. There are historical accounts of people who've had visions. And I grew up in Europe, and there's places in Europe where they've set up shrines because someone had a vision of some angel or some spiritual being, and they have a vision of it. And people come from all over to touch the waters or kiss it or pray there. And people ask me, "Well, Pastor, did that happen? Or was it made up in their mind? Is it real? Is it of God?" And I'm going to tell you this. Listen, not every vision is a vision from God. The Bible says that Satan comes as an angel of light. sometimes to deceive and entrap us. But Paul said, though an angel from heaven were to appear and preach to you a different gospel than what you've already learned, then let that angel be accursed. If you had some experience and you're in your room at night and an angel shows up to you, an angel of light, and you look around and pinch yourself and say, wow, I'm really having a vision. And this angel appears to you and says, you have been chosen. You say, me? Wow, I kind of knew I was already special. Feeds into your ego a little bit. And says, you know what? There's a Christ and he lives three doors down, and he gives you some message. It would be easy to be swept into that because you had a supernatural experience. But here's what Scripture says. Not every supernatural experience comes from the spirit of light. It can come from the spirit of darkness as well. Everything in the light is imitated by the darkness. Everything that God does is imitated by the other side, the kingdom of darkness. Everything. There are people that are sucked into cults and false religions because they think that they're loved. They get involved in a group of people and people surround them and embrace them, and you're a part of us. And why? Because in the kingdom of God there's love, so therefore it's going to be imitated in the kingdom of darkness, but it's usually more like control than it is authentic love. Every miracle that God did was always counterfeited somehow in the kingdom of darkness. Do you remember when Moses was called of God to set the people of Israel free? That everything that Moses did, the magicians, the sorcerers, imitated it the same way. Do you remember that? He threw his rod on the floor, turned into a snake. The sorcerer said, we know how to do that. And they did the same thing. Everything that's of God will be imitated in the darkness, because that's how counterfeit works. If there is a dollar bill that has value, there will always be imitation of that dollar bill. If gold has value, there'll always be false gold. If silver has value, there'll always be fake silver. In the kingdom of God, you have what's true, what's authentic, and you'll always have variations of imitations of what's authentic. And so what John is telling us is we need to be discerning people. We have to know what is true and what is not true. We have to discern between what is authentic and what is not authentic. A good example of this is, if you remember in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 16, the apostle Paul and Silas were preaching the gospel. And in Acts chapter 16, verse 16, it says, once when we were going to a place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit by which she predicted the future, a spirit of divination. She earned a great deal of money from her owners by, listen to this, fortune telling. This was a young slave girl whose owners had discovered that she had the power to predict the future. She was a psychic reader, but not some pseudo-psychic reader. She actually had the power to look into the future and to predict future things. People would come to her, and she would have these spiritual experiences and have images of the future, and she would speak about the future and tell them, foretell the future. And her reputation had grown, and so people would bring her owners, made a lot of profit off of selling her services of predicting the future to people that wanted them. Now you say, was it true? Yes, it was true. She had the power, the ability, the spirit of divination, the ability to somehow look into the future and predict many of the things to come. And when the apostle Paul and Silas were preaching the gospel, she followed them around. And she would say, these are men of God. They are preaching the way of salvation. They have the Spirit of God in them. And day after day, she followed them, predicting that they were men of God. And finally, one day, the Bible says that Paul had had enough, and he turned to her and he said, "Spirit, I tell you, come out of her." And immediately that spirit of divination left this woman. And when the spirit left this woman, she lost her ability to predict the future.
This concludes the first half of Pastor Mark's message called Testing the Spirits, which is from Pastor Mark's series called Contrast, Be the Difference. Please join us again on the next Straight Talk for the second half of this message. Before you go, we invite you to download our free Straight Talk app at PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you can download this evening's message for free and find a link to our New Life Community Church ministry page where you can browse the ministry of Pastor Mark Jobe. You'll also find a Bible app and over 400 other messages that we think will definitely encourage you. If you have any questions about our program or just need some prayer, you can call our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. On behalf of Pastor Mark, myself, and our Straight Talk team, we thank you for listening. Please do tune in again for another edition of Straight Talk, and have a great evening. God bless.